Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the 39th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that always makes eye contact. My guest today is subversive writer and podcaster Merritt Kay. She's the host of the Woodland Secrets podcast and the editor of the anthology Video Games for Humans. I actually talked to Merritt for about 20 minutes before we got into this week's subject. Cocksucking. If you want to hear her talk about pregnancy fetishes and something called the Omegaverse, you can subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast Plus. The latest episode of my special Acast Plus segment, which I call Interrobang, features Lamalani Sieverts giving a kinky crafting lesson on making your own torch for fire play. Download the Acast app and subscribe to all your favorite shows to find out more. Mark your calendars. I'll be presenting a panel called Obscenesters with Merritt, my guest today, former Why Are People Into That guest, Milka Halili, and my dear friend, Yana Kalu, at BinderCon in New York City, October 29th and 30th. BinderCon is a conference for women and gender nonconforming writers. I highly recommend it, and maybe I'll see you there. I'm also looking forward to attending the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit this year. Susie Q and I are presenting a lecture about the whore singularity, and we'll be asking the question, if everybody's naked on the internet, is nobody naked on the internet? Also, my friend and colleague, Tristan Terramino, is teaching her acclaimed sex educator boot camps on Thursday, August 4th, in Alexandria, Virginia, at the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Conference. She is one of a handful of people doing professional training for sex educators and folks whose work focuses on sexuality, including bloggers, authors, coaches, speakers, BDSM educators, therapists, health professionals, and sex workers. If this sounds like something my listeners might be interested in, I have a special discount code for you. DEAL25. You can get 25% off your registration for Tristan's camp. So, strap on your knee pads and relax your throat muscles as we explore, why are people into cocksucking? Well, we're so glad that you're in New York, and I'm so glad that you agreed to come over and do the podcast.
Yeah, no, thank you. This is really exciting.
Cool. So Merritt is a writer and also a podcaster in her own right. Your podcast is called Woodland Creatures.
Woodland Secrets. Yes.
Woodland Secrets.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole. I think I'm thinking of a Ween song. Woodland Secrets. And so it's filled with secrets. And creatures, to be honest.
Yeah, no, creatures figure prominently into it. We end up talking about furries probably like every other episode.
Definitely the one. I listened to your episode with Arabelle and you guys definitely talked about furries.
Yes, yeah.
and you have a book out, an amazing book, called Video Games for Humans. I got that right?
Yeah, that
cool.
One was right.
From Instar Books.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that book.
Yeah, so Video Games for Humans is basically a collection of interactive fiction. And so it's kind of like Choose Your Own Adventure stories that were popular in the 90s, but they're all written online. And so what we did with the book was like basically assign different stories to different writers and say, play through this and write a bit about what that experience was like for you. So all of these games and stories are available online, and you can still play through them for free mostly. But what the book does is basically say you can like sit next to this person basically as they play through and give you their feedback on stuff. So you can sit down basically with Imogen Binney, this like amazing queer writer.
Oh my god, and so I love Imogen Binney.
She's fantastic. You can basically, you know, watch over her shoulder as she plays a game about, you know, sacrificing animals to become like a demon and smoke weed and like instate full communism, and you can get her take on it. And so there's like a bunch of different chapters like that, and it's just the super cool, huge project. The book is also really heavy, so if you need like an improvised weapon, it's also really good for that.
Yes. No. And I love it when people want to talk about something that is not like some fetish that no one has ever heard of, but just something that is like, obviously it does not always have to be vanilla, but it's something that is really rooted in the body and really like, I'm pretty sure most people know what a blowjob is. First of all, can you define, when you said that you were interested in doing Why Are People Into Cocksucking, can you define cocksucking for us today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question of nomenclature is really interesting around this stuff. So my friend Chelsea Summers we had this conversation recently where...
She's very funny on Twitter.
She's incredible, yeah. We were talking about this, and she was like, you know, only a man would come up with the term blowjob. Mm. Like, that is like a man's thing of like turning this act into like this like kind of banal form of labor almost.
God, totally.
And I've been thinking about that lately, and it's just like, yeah, that term is not very interesting or erotic to
also
me at
how
all.
Much blowing is really going on?
Well, I mean maybe I've been doing it wrong. I'm just blowing the hell out of that thing. But yeah, it's like a weird word to use. It's very crude and very like, not crude in a way that I find like erotically charged, just kind of like, oh, it's a thing that you did.
It kind of lands with like a thump.
It does, yeah, yeah, like a dull thud, like of a soft cock after you've done it. and yeah, so cocksucking to me, I mean, like, it's a much more evocative phrase. Like, you have like two words that are really have really great sounds in them right next to each other. Like, you have that k sound in both words, so it's like a very strong term. And I guess I would just define it as, god, how, I mean, Oxford Dictionary defines cocksucking as. No, I mean, I think some people have very specific ideas when it comes to cocksucking, but I think it can be done basically, you know, on anyone who feels like they have a cock, which can include a lot of people that most like cisnormative and whatever kinds of society wouldn't say do.
Right.
And yeah, I guess.
So really anyone can suck cock.
Yeah, anyone
can suck
cock.
And anyone can get their cock sucked.
Absolutely, yes. Anyone who wants to do either of those things can. Whether it is a cock that is attached to your body or one that you are temporarily putting on.
You know, what occurs to me when you're talking about the sort of semantic difference between blowjob and cock sucking, it occurs to me that nobody is ever called a blowjobber, but... but cocksucker can be an identity.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't actually thought about that, but it's kind of funny. Like, yeah, calling someone a blowjobber. I mean, it's interesting because, like, in wrestling, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but, like, a jobber is someone who basically goes in to, like, take a fall to, like, make someone look good.
Interesting.
And yeah, blowjobber. I thought that's so fascinating. But yeah, cocksucker is definitely, like, you can be a cocksucker identified, or you can have that term thrown at you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like supposed to be emasculating, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's basically the same as calling someone a faggot, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, also like as if that's a bad thing.
Right, right. Yeah. But I mean, like basically you've let a cock into your body, or like, but I feel like a cocksucker is like, that in ways, it implies so much, like, even as an insult, it implies, like, not only did you sort of, like, let this happen to you, but you, like, took an active part in it almost. Like,
yeah, you maybe even liked this. It.
Yeah, you liked this awful thing, which is, like, always the weird thing to me about male sexuality is, like, how they, like, make the things that they want to be disgusting and, like...
It's
like,
very strange.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole foundation of, like, of male sexual control of women, I guess. But it is, like, really weird when you step back and think about it. Like, you guys like this, don't you?
Don't you what?
Right.
People to suck your cock?
Right. And yet...
Well, it's also... It's, like, a weird power trip false consciousness thing. It's like, you thought you liked it, but I'm so powerful that I'm here to tell you, you shouldn't have liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
What's
yeah.
up with that?
I mean, yeah, it's like, it's very strange. And I think, yeah, it is absolutely true. It's about like controlling women's bodies and desires.
But I know plenty of people who happily, enthusiastically identify as cocksuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of my best friends are cocksuckers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like, any kind of term that is thrown at people like that, there is power in, like, taking it back and being like, oh, yeah, no, I do actually fancy a cocksuck in, you know, every fortnight.
When I'm rutting or whatever, or in the Omega for, am I doing it right?
Oh, yeah. No, well, actually, if you were in heat, then sucking a dick wouldn't actually alleviate that. You would need to be not. I've never mind. I'm sorry. Just.
Well, right. Because like sucking cock does not get you pregnant, which is really one of its best qualities.
Yeah. It's one of the more attractive parts of it. For sure. For sure.
So what's hot about cock sucking?
Right. I mean, I think for some people, there is definitely a power thing involved. Like, I definitely. Think there is an intimacy in taking any part of a person's body, but especially one that is so vulnerable, into your mouth.
It's like a little baby bird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is like a power thing for some people. I guess for me, and I think the flip side of that, which I land on, is that it is the opposite. It is like a very like almost kind of degrading or humiliating situation. But not that I consciously believe it is, but that because of all of the messages around it, it's right. very easy to take that and be like, oh yeah, this is gross. Yeah, like I am a gross slut. This is awesome.
And just like reveling and being disgusting and being degraded and
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. 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 So it's interesting because I think it can land on both sides of that coin. Whether people are looking to like feel like powerful from doing it or looking to feel totally disempowered, like it's the same act, but it can satisfy both of those situations.
Absolutely. And, but I suppose that, you know, I mean, oral sex doesn't have to be about power. It can also be about, and it does, you know, and it could be about service, but it can also be about pleasing someone, right? Like just complete, like giving someone a massage, just being like, lay back and I am gonna suck your cock. I'm gonna like suck you dry.
Right. Yeah. No, there's like so many different facets to it almost. There's so many different ways that people can come at it, I feel like, which is like one of the interesting things about it to me.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting, like, I get told time and time again that at all of the feminist sex toy stores, your Beyblands, your Good Vibeses, your Smitten Kittens, that the most popular class is always how to give a good blowjob. Why do you think that is?
It's funny because I don't think it's that hard. I've always been mystified by people. I don't know. Maybe it's just like kissing. I've just been like, how are you bad at this? It's just your mouth. Just like use it. But maybe that's a little presumptuous of me. I mean,
not everyone can be as naturally talented as you, Merritt.
Well, what can I say? I have a gift. But
share your secret with us.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of dismaying to me that those courses are so popular for a bunch of reasons. One of them is that there's this weird professionalization of sex for non-professionals that I think is really strange, because I don't think you should have to treat sex that way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with skill building or with learning new things, but I just feel like the way that those kinds of things get folded into this like kind of sense of like, oh, we need to be having better sex, or we need to be improving our sex life, or quantifying it, or, you know, measuring how long it took us to orgasm, or how many times that we came, or like whatever. It just feels really creepy to me.
Right. I see what you're saying. It kind of turns sex into like, first of all, like, here are the rules.
Yeah.
You need to learn the rules and do them right. And then at the end of the equation, you will have the right answer.
Yeah.
But it also kind of turns sex into like CrossFit.
Yes, absolutely. That is the thing, is like, it kind of evacuates it of the grossness and like of the like, my friend Charlotte Shane,
also amazing on Twitter, amazingly.
Very brilliant. Just shouting out all the brilliant women I know, has talked about how a lot of these kinds of sites of like feminist sex stores, not to like name anyone in particular, just like a general pattern of like, they kind of make sex into this sort of bourgeois, like, like, oh, let's go out and get a new vibrator. It's like going to the Apple store. I'm like,
well, right. It's like a luxury item.
It's a luxury item. It's very clean. There isn't this kind of element of grime or grunginess. And in ways that is a very positive thing, but in other ways, it kind of turns sex into this very sterile thing that is about skills, that is about these, like, the right technology.
And
that is
status.
Status, all of these things that, you know, I think any Marxist would have a lot to say about. like, when I...
There's a first time for everything.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, those kinds of classes, like, I see why they are popular. Because first of all, like, they appeal to straight women who are constantly being told that they are not desirable enough and that they are not good enough and all of these things. And like, here's
the way to fix that is to spend money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Spend money and learn how to do this thing. And I get it. It's also so sad.
Well, I mean, I can say, having attended many of those classes at many different venues, I think that the people of the, like, sex positive feminist sex toy store world are doing good work. You know, they're doing the Lord's work. You know, like, they're fighting whatever Lord that is. They are approaching the mentality that you're talking about, the, like, conspicuous consumption, commodity, fetishism, bourgeois, like, status-obsessed folks, and saying, like, give us a little bit of money and we will, like, you know, for example, teach you that the secret to a good blowjob is learning how to enjoy it and thinking about the ways that, I mean, now I'll just say that, like, if I was going to give a tip, like, what is my, like, you know, just the tip, my, like, biggest blowjob or cocksucking technique advice would be, if you don't like it, figure out why you don't like it and what you would need in order to like it, and it's probably not flavored condoms.
Ugh.
That was the thing. That was a thing for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
Like, the problem with blowjobs is that dicks don't taste good,
so let's
make them taste like latex and candy lube.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to solve everything.
Yeah, that was an interesting approach.
I mean,
for sure.
A for effort, I guess. Thanks for trying, but no.
Yeah, no, it's like trying to solve a... Yeah, you're trying to solve a social issue with an engineering solution.
Oh my God, that's very well put.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if people... Yeah, that is the secret, right? Is like, if you are not into it, then it's probably not going to be very pleasant for you or the other person, unless they're totally oblivious to you, in which case you probably don't want to be sleeping with them anyway.
That might unfortunately be part of the case.
But that is probably part of the case, yes.
So it's not just on the cocksucker, but it's also on the person getting their cock sucked to be good at getting their cock sucked.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there are people who are good at that, and there are people who are... That is a skill, like, right? Like, receiving oral sex is absolutely a skill, because you can just lay there or stand there or whatever and be totally silent and unresponsive, in which case I'm like, is this okay? Am I doing good? Would you rather be doing something else? Or, you know, there are things that people can do. Like, you can touch your partner. Like, you can run your hands through their hair. Or you can pull their hair.
Talk.
You can talk. You can say things.
You can say, you're such a good cocksucker. I love it when you do that. You look so beautiful. Your face looks so pretty, impaled by my cock. Just for example.
Just for starters. Yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff. And so, like, it is a team effort. Like anything, like any sexual acts.
So I have a few questions for you. Number one, what is there to love about sucking cock?
Wow. Where do I start?
Besides the taste of chocolate flavored condoms, of course.
Well, that goes without saying.
Of course.
I feel like... For me, that is a big part of it, is like, and I think for a lot of people that is a big part of it, of like that feeling of like doing, of like very viscerally doing something that is pleasing to someone.
Yeah.
And however you approach that, that is like a really cool thing, to be like, I am doing something that is like really awesome for this person who I like or I'm into or whatever. And especially if they're telling you that.
Yeah.
That's like super, super cool. And I think also if you are also like eroticizing the supposed grossness of it, then that adds another layer of like enjoyment onto that activity. And then also like, just like, I don't know, to be very like visceral and like crude, I guess.
Oh, please.
There are like, you know, it's, there are like, somatic parts of that experience that can be very enjoyable, like the smell of someone's body,
yeah,
or like the feel of their pubic hair, or like all these things are like very particular like physiological experiences that are pretty unique to that.
Yeah.
And even just like the kind of, I'm just about to use the word mouthfeel and I'm going to throw up. but just like, you know, like the feel
please
of having someone...
Please describe it like you're describing a fine wine.
Yes. Yeah. the bouquet.
oh, you don't want a bouquet.
No. but yeah, just like even just the experience of like having, yeah, this part of someone's body in your mouth, it's like very intimate. And like, I guess there are some people who find that kind of like the actual like smell or taste or whatever of a part of someone's body repugnant, but like I think it can be like a really, really awesome, intimate, intense thing.
I agree. I mean, it makes me think about like you grow up and you're supposed to grow out of that stage where you're just like learning about the world by putting things in your mouth and you're like told like in order to be a civilized adult you don't do that, and then you have consensual sex and you're like, I get to put things in my mouth that I'm not supposed to put in my mouth.
Yeah.
Again.
I never grew out of my oral phase.
Well, some Freudian will have a field day with you. okay, so next question. What makes a good cocksucker? I mean, I guess we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but can you elaborate on what do you think makes a good cocksucker?
Yeah, I mean, I think enthusiasm is like at the top of the list, because getting a lackluster or unenthused blowjob is like the least sexy thing to me. Like, I'm sure there are people who can get off on just anyone putting their mouth on their junk, but for me, it's like, I don't know why anyone would be into it if I wasn't really into it. And like, when people have done it to me, like, if they're not into it, then I'm like, why are we doing this? Because like, it's nice, but like, if you're not into it, then we could be doing something else. So I think definitely enthusiasm is really high. And yeah, I don't know. I think adventurousness too. Because to me, like, that one of the cool things about cocksucking, and not to advocate law breaking or public indecency or anything like that.
It's all right.
But is that it's the kind of thing that is pretty easy to do in a lot of places. I'm talking about like bathrooms. I'm talking hotel stairways, you know,
yes,
the classics.
Graveyards
for sure. And you know, depending on like, on who's involved, there are other kinds of sex acts that can be pretty, you know, quick tear down as well. But like, for me, that is like the super, like, you know, you can pretty much do it anywhere.
God, that's true.
It's very portable.
God, that is,
it's the portable feast. And let's just take that out forever. We'll cut that. That's fine.
No way. Okay. I know I said I would cut anything that you wanted, but I'm not cutting that.
Denied. But yeah, right, it is like something that I think adventurousness on the part of the cocksucker and the cocksuckee is very important, because to me, like, the kind of ideal cocksucking experience is not like two people in bed lying down and like someone sidling down. Like, that can be okay sometimes, but like, I feel like someone standing up in like an alley or something weird is like,
oh yeah,
chef kiss, it's so good.
Or like in a kitchen, you know,
right? Yeah, while someone's cooking. Yeah,
yeah, perfect.
I'm disgusting.
Oh please, I'm sure you can be more disgusting than that. I was about to say amuse-bouche, and that just... So we're even.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Tina Horn, the producer and host of the podcast Why Are People Into That? An interview show about sex, kink, gender, and love. I want to tell you about the new bonus segment of my show. It's called Interrobang. An interrobang is when a question mark and an exclamation point are next to each other. Really, that's the actual name for that. Interrobang is also a short, exclusive segment that you get when you subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast Plus. On this episode of Interrobang, my guest is Lamalani Sieverts. Lamalani is a West Coast kinky pervert and leather title holder. She loves combining sex with fire, like actual fire. After recording an entire episode called Why Are People Into Fire Play, I thought it would be fun to do an Interrobang segment with her about showers and barbecues. Afterwards, we had kinky DIY time where Llama taught me how to make my own torch.
Focus and just knowing its personality through the column of the flame and the torch and stuff. And flash cotton's also another thing too, that when I like having that laying down on the skin, and as the torch hits it or even gets close, having that set off in a very intense moment, because it generates a lot of heat very quickly. Plus it has sort of that surprise element on it. I was like, oh, I got it.
Surprise, we're fire. There goes. To find out more, subscribe to Why Are People Into That on your Acast app. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram, and visit whyarepeopleintothat.com. So we've talked also a little bit about what makes a good cocksucky, but can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah.
If our listeners are like, what can I do to be better at getting my cock sucked?
For sure. That is, I think it's an important skill, and I really admire people who are willing to, you know, seek out self-improvement in that respect. I think being an active participant is really, really important. And like, I, for me, like someone who is willing to talk and willing to, even just like very small things, like you were saying before, like, oh, you're such a good cocksucker. Like setting the right tone is just like, whoa, I am like redoubling my efforts.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like, oh my God. Yeah. I am. Yes, you're right. Yeah. I am.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what I've been saying, guys. but yeah, like being, giving, positive reinforcement, or a negative reinforcement, you know, whatever
you,
you know, the people involved are into, just willingness to like not be a silent partner, I think is super important.
I agree. And then even though it might seem obvious, what is there to love about getting your cock sucked?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess I am always thinking about things in terms of power, because that's just where I come at things from.
Sure.
So like in the same way that I think about sucking cock as like this very like giving power situation. I feel like having your cock sucked is like this situation of like accepting this, like, this power that this person has given to you over them.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah. Which is like, in the right circumstances, a very, very like powerful experience. And even if, you know, that isn't like the cock isn't like attached to your body or whatever, it's still like this kind of very deep psychological, this like intense psychological experience.
I mean, like I wrote an essay for the book Girl Sex 101 by another of my guests, Allison Moon, that is about like wearing a strap-on and getting a blowjob, or giving and getting a blowjob, I guess I should say. And you know, to me, it's one of the most amazing manifestations of the power of the imagination in sex, where like when I am wearing a strap-on and someone is sucking my silicone dick, and there's so much to be excited about that. There's so much pleasure in it. There's so much stimulation. There's so much arousal. And like, I don't have nerve endings in that dick, but it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So because, and you know, to me, that's just like such a not only a beautiful manifestation of queerness, but also just how much more sex has to do than nerve endings connecting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So let's talk about rough sex. You want to? Are you down to talk about?
Well, if we have to.
So are you down to talk about rough blowjobs?
It sounds pretty unchristian, but I will do it for as a personal favor to you.
I did give you pizza.
You did.
So it's face fucking time, Merritt.
Okay. Lightning round.
What do you think about rough oral sex?
Yeah, I think it can be really cool. I think that there is a problem with people who do the head push.
Mm-hmm.
When the
can head you push, describe what you mean?
The head push, yeah. It's a move where the cocksucky will nudge the cocksucker's head in the direction of the base of the cock.
Really, actually, I think that it could even be defined as like the cocksucky, like taking the cocksucker's head, even in like pulling it in the direction of their crotch, like before the blowjob has even commenced.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that I can certainly remember some teenage years of someone not using their words, but
yes,
just like taking your head and putting it down there. And, you know, in the right circumstances, that could be really hot, but it also, I think, can be a little demoralizing. Again, like, if you want it, you just got to be able to say it.
Right. I think in most circumstances, like, you know, the whole, like, consent is sexy thing is, like, really boring. And, like, you know, consent is consent. And, like, you don't need to eroticize it to make it, like, important. But,
wow, that's a really good point.
But that said, like, saying things to me has the dual purpose of being, like, oh, this is what you want. And I can, like, respond to that. And also, it can be really hot. If someone is, like, I want you to suck my cock, then it's, like, yes, sir. And if they're like moving my head down there, I'm just like, okay, well, maybe I'm into this, but like,
you're not even giving me the chance to submit to you.
Right. Yeah. Like, let me do this.
To be like, be an active participant.
Yeah. Like, I'm, yeah, exactly. Like, and so I think that kind of stuff, obviously is not super great, but, you know, if people are talking about it and like, yeah, I absolutely want you to fuck my throat, then like that can be really, really hot. I mentioned before we started recording, I think, that I had written a poem in this chapbook that I just released that is partially about throwing up on someone's dick.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, bodies are weird and sometimes that happens. I think throat fucking can be a very beautiful experience. And also, you have to be aware of the fact that sometimes that's going to happen. And
yeah.
Actually, I'm going to plug Chelsea Summers again because she has a really incredible essay on deep throating.
Oh, great. What is it called?
I do not remember, but I'll find you a link so you can put it up.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I think, you know, rough face or throat fucking, like anything can be like really, really awesome. If people are talking about it, and if not, then it can just be like really not great, really horrible.
I remember the first time that I started to give rougher blowjobs, and it was definitely because I'm me. It was definitely like me being like, hey, I want to start sucking your dick rougher as opposed to somebody like grabbing my ponytail and, you know, fucking my face. I remember the first time that I started to notice that the closer a dick got to the back of my throat, the thicker my saliva got.
Right.
And it sort of became this like specific sort of goal for me of cocksucking that I would get at that like sort of special saliva that just made my mouth feel like more like a cocksucking machine.
Yeah, you get that good throat saliva, throat spit. Yeah, that's like crucial, is getting that up there.
Yeah,
it's very good.
And I also remember the first time that I just like was really going for it and then just went beyond gagging into, you know, trigger warning for people who like don't want to listen to talking about puking, but that it went beyond that thick saliva and just like just a little bit of puking, and I just remember like pulling up off of the dick and turning to the side and spitting on the floor and then just getting back to work, and I felt so hot and so powerful. Like I sex is more important to me than what my body can tell me. Obviously sometimes you should listen to your body when it says no, but my body was like, we don't know about this, and I was like, I'm running the show here.
Yeah.
But deep throating doesn't always have to be the goal of cocksucking.
No. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that, it's funny because like we have this one very specific image of what that looks like, of what cocksucking looks like from mainstream porn and from the culture.
It's very theatrical.
It is.
Deep throating.
It is. Yeah. You know, it's a good party trick.
It looks great on camera. That's all I'm saying.
It looks great on camera, but it isn't the only thing. It looks
great live too, actually, I should say.
For sure. Yeah, it does.
From whatever angle, from the nosebleeds, from the, you know, from the front row, the orchestra seats. So what else is there to love about face fucking and deep throating for either the cocksucker or the cocksucky?
If the both people are into it, then like the face fucker can really just kind of like let go in the same way that you were talking about. Like sucking a cock, of just like being like, nope, I'm ignoring my body right now. I'm just like gonna go for it. It's kind of, I think, a similar experience for the other person involved, of just being like, I'm just gonna like go for it, and like obviously the other person's into it, and I'm just gonna like go to town on this person's throat or mouth, which is like pretty cool.
What advantages do you think that the mouth has as opposed to other holes?
Yeah, well, I think you have more fine motor control over your mouth, definitely. There are some very special people who have very good control over other parts of their body, but it's much less, there's much less control over the muscles a lot of the time.
Sure. Subtlety.
You don't have a tongue in your anus or your pussy.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, you know,
there must be some fan fiction online about.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you have a tongue, which is like a whole other dimension. And I feel like the mouth is like, yeah, I mean, it's different from other holes or orifices in that it's so many other things too, right? It's like, it's how we communicate. It's how we like take in food. It's like this very important portal into our bodies. Not that the other ones aren't important in their own ways, but, and so having a cock in your mouth means that you can't speak.
Mm.
And it means that you maybe have a little more trouble breathing. You're breathing through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's restricting some of that. And so it's kind of like, there are all these other dimensions to it that aren't involved in like, fucking someone's ass or pussy or whatever, because it's like, it's this totally different experience of like, you can't talk, you can't maybe breathe as well, and yet you are still like doing this thing with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like the hole that's in your face,
your head. Yeah
That's like where so much of your identity is. Yeah. Right. And also your eyes are like right up next to the person's genitals, and like,
yeah, I feel like face fucking is like, has this potential to like play with identity and stuff in a really hot way that other kinds of sex don't always. I mean, I'm thinking particularly about the ways that like, if you're someone who wears makeup, then that is going to be affected in a way that it might not if you were getting fucked in another part of your body, and it's almost like taking off your face, which is like really intense. And if you search on any makeup forum, there is a lot of advice on like which lipsticks are blowjob friendly and survive it. But the idea of having your face just totally like basically messed up by that is like really, really hot.
Is there anything else that you feel like you really want to say to the cocksuckers of the world or the like cocksucker wannabes of the world?
Wow. Yeah. What do I want to say?
This is your platform.
Yeah.
There's so many cocksuckers listening out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're beautiful. Each and every one of you. And I think if you're a cocksucker wannabe, it's like, it's great because the bar to entry is very low. You just have to do it the one time and you're in for life.
It's like being a porn star, right? It's like you just do it once and then you're a star.
Yeah. but yeah, also like, I don't know. I think people who are good at receiving cocksucking or receiving a blowjob deserve a shout out because, like I've been saying, it is a skill.
Yeah.
And I have been with people who are truly terrible at it.
At receiving blowjobs
and make me feel like I might as well not even be doing it. And I've been with people who are like really, really good and make me feel like, oh, this is great and you're enjoying yourself and so am I. And like, isn't this amazing? And yeah, I guess just reiterating the idea that like anyone can be a cocksucker and anyone can have their cock sucked. And I feel like oftentimes those conversations get into like details around like we fetishize like size or like cocks that are attached to people's bodies or whatever, but like that's not like an integral part of the experience, I don't think.
Totally.
And like, yeah, I don't know. That's, I hope that I have been fairly neutral in my discussion of these things, because like I think, like I said, all kinds of people can be in either role. So
do you have advice for people who are used to going down on a certain kind of crotch, for lack of a better word, and are like wanting to go down on somebody else but like don't know where to start? That was very awkwardly put, but
right. I mean, I think, yeah, so if you're used to like what, eating pussy, and you're trying to like suck cock, yeah,
totally.
I mean, the cool thing is that you're dealing with like a lot of the same basic, like if we're talking about biological versions of either, like, and by that what I mean is just not like a silicone thing, then like a lot of the same anatomy is basically involved.
Yeah,
it's just like,
what is it homologous, is that the right word?
I think so. Yeah, it's just like in different places or moved in different ways or stretched out or shrunk down or whatever.
Yeah. Or beneath the surface in the case of the clitoris.
Yeah. And so like in many ways it's pretty similar. Like you have like a lot of nerve endings, like for people with biococks, like near the end underneath, in ways it's very similar to like a clit. Mm. And yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of transferable skills. As if you're someone who knows how to like use your mouth in a way that it like people seem to enjoy, then that's probably something that you can like, it's a portable skill, right? You can, it's takes some adaptation, but I don't think that the differences are as absolute as a lot of people make them out to be.
Totally. And also eye contact.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So if you could give one cocksucking tip, just the tip, what would it be? What's your desert island cocksucking tip?
Huh. I mean, find a way to be into it. And yeah, if you can't, then you don't have to do it.
That is great advice.
Because I think there are a lot of ways to enjoy it. And if you are feeling like you should or you want to, maybe you haven't found the right way yet. Maybe you want to eroticize the feeling of power of having this part of your partner's body in your mouth and under your control. Maybe you want to eroticize the feeling of having your like your mouth, which is like your means of communication, being taken away from you. Mm. And maybe it's none of those things and you just actually don't want to do it. And that's actually okay. Not everyone has to be a cocksucker. And at the end of the day, if you don't want to suck cock, then there's more for me. So, so that's it. Yeah.
That's a beautiful note to end on. I just wanted to underscore something that you said earlier that I think is really fucking amazing. You said it in passing that consent doesn't actually have to be sexy in order to be important. Am I paraphrasing you correctly?
Yeah. I mean, that's the sentiment that certainly, like, I'm not the first person to say. And, like, I've seen other people talk about it as just, like, we don't need to eroticize access to water for it to be important. So why should we eroticize consent, which is, like, also a basic human right?
Yeah, or, like, people don't need to enjoy their jobs in order to deserve basic human rights.
Sure.
On the job. Yeah, that kind of thing. Well, I think that that's really powerful because I feel like in a lot of my work, I'm, like, trying to think of different ways to, like, convince people that consent is sexy and, like, you know, it's not a bad thing if you can figure out a way to, like, make it fun or make it part of your sex or make it something that you think of as something that brings you closer instead of alienating you. But also, if it's awkward, if you lose your boner, if you're not entirely sure what to say and it kind of sets you back and you have to, like, get back into it, that actually has to be okay because
for sure.
Sex is not complete without consent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, you know, it may not be sexy when your partner says that, no, they don't actually want to suck your cock or whatever, but, like, that is not the most important thing in the world. Like, and if you care about them or into them, then you should be okay with that. So yeah, like, sex is going to be, we're talking about weird body parts and emotions and all these, like, complicated things that are messy on their own. And when you throw them together, it's a miracle that anyone ever does it right. And so obviously there's going to be a lot of stops and starts and, like, that has to be okay.
I love your attitude and I love
thank you
all of your disgusting visuals.
so many food metaphors. Terrible. Oh my God.
And I wish that we could keep talking about cocksucking all night, but I'm going to let you continue your New York adventures. Where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, Merritt Kopaz, MerrittKopaz. I tweet a lot, just as a warning.
You are also hilarious on Twitter.
Thank you.
Make me giggle all the time.
And then my podcast, Woodland Secrets, you can subscribe to that on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts. And the website for that is woodlandsecrets.co.
Cool. And anywhere else, anything else on the internet you want people to plug or you want to plug for people?
You can check out my book, Video Games for Humans.
Yeah, where do you prefer that people buy that?
Yeah, buying it from the Instar site is probably the best. I don't know that you can actually get it in a lot of other places right now. But if you go to Instar Books, don't actually remember the website off the top of my head. I think it's instarbooks.com/videogamesforhumans. But
they have a lot of other really
great. They have
great
a lot
books.
Of other incredible projects.
Yeah, they're
that
good
you
people.
Totally check out. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was super fun.
Cool, we'll do it again soon.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to episode 39. Follow at Tina Horns S on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, and take a few seconds to write a review. Visit whyarepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. As ever, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Pine from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and this project is now sponsored by my generous and gag reflexless patrons. Swallow, don't spit, at patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be getting all of this pubic hair out from between my teeth.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.